It's 8:19, and you're tuned into Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. I'm joined on the phone this morning by U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
Good to have you with us. Now, I want to let our listeners know that we are getting some heavy rainfall in northeast Arkansas this morning. And, of course, our farmers are enjoying this rain. They've got to be. It's been so dry recently, and so we're glad to see the rain. We've talked quite a bit with Senator Bozeman about the farm bill recently. Of course, the Senate passed its version. Now, this month, the House made a controversial move, Senator, of passing just the agricultural components that make up only about 20% of the total farm bill, cutting out the largest part of the bill, which deals with the nutrition programs. What do you think about how the House dealt with this?
Well, where we're at right now is that this, on the farm bill, is that the Senate actually asked to go to conference, and so they would conference the complete farm bill that includes the nutrition part and then also the commodities, the farm part, and then conference that hopefully with the House, which just has the commodity part, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the other in it. So because it's in the Senate, then there's the ability to bind those two together and actually conference the whole thing. So I think we're working forward. I think that, you know, the light's at the end of the tunnel. Everybody's working in good faith. If we just conference the farm part, the nutrition part goes on regardless because of the way the law is set up. It's mandatory spending, but we lose the opportunity to put some reforms in it, and it definitely needs to be reformed. We certainly need to take care of those that need help, but there are abuses that go on, and so hopefully we can do both. We can get a good, strong program that benefits our farmers, gives them the certainty that they need so that they can buy the equipment, make the decisions they need for the next 5 years, but also do a good job of making sure we're using the taxpayers' money wisely regarding the nutrition programs.
Well, you know, politics always comes into play in these matters, and one thing that Republicans are often accused of is not caring about poor people. And when the House Republicans completely refuse to pass a farm bill that includes food stamps, doesn't that provide the opposition with more fuel for their fire?
Well, it does in the sense of demagoguing it, but too often the way that we judge programs is by throwing money at them, and really what we need to do is look at outcomes. We need to help those that are in need. Those that are gaming the system certainly don't need to be helped. In fact, that actually frees up more money for those that actually need it. So, again, you know, we need to look at outcomes. We don't need to look at just at how much money is being spent. But certainly, I think everyone is committed to helping those that are genuinely in need, and that's really what this is all about.
Well, we hear about these people that are gaming the system. Is there a definitive way of weeding out these people and quantifying how much, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse there is going on?
There is, you know, and there's lots of games that the states are playing with signing up people that really aren't eligible. That's how $4 billion was saved in the Senate, and actually a lot more could be saved by doing that. So it's really a matter of everyone working together. You have one group that says that if you cut a dollar, you know, that is terrible, that you're hurting those that are disadvantaged. You have another group, some of them actually want to go too far. There's a place in the middle where you genuinely take care of those that need food aid. And you know, there are certainly people in this very difficult economy with this all being two-wage earner families. One loses their job. It makes it very, very difficult. You can go down and visit the local food pantries throughout the state, throughout the country. And, you know, they'll tell you that the clientele that they're seeing now is very, very different than they have in the past, that there are a number of people that are in need of a little bit of help till they get back on their feet, you know, get a job and go forward.
Well, how do you feel? This is another kind of farm-related issue. How do you feel about the proposal that's out there to require labeling for genetically engineered food?
Well, I'm really not too keen in the sense of doing all of the different labeling programs. You know, there's a want to for about everything, and so I think that when you look at the science behind the genetically modified foods, the science is very clear. You know, it's safe, and there's no reason to believe that it's going to cause any problems. So certainly, as long as you go through all of the testing, go through all of the science, I really don't think that there's a need to do that.
Well, the president has decided to give business owners more time to comply with the employer mandate, part of the federal health care law. The House saw this and then raised him, voting to put off the individual mandate, too. There are questions about the president's authority in this matter, and what about what the House is proposing? Will this go anywhere?
Well, you know, I would like to see it legislated if we're going to do that, because I would very much like to repeal the law in totality, get rid of the business requirement, get rid of the individual requirement. But I don't think the president has the authority to just basically say, you know, I don't like this law, it's not convenient for us right now, we're going to, you know, just not do it. And that's exactly what he's doing. So I would like to put it off. I'd like to get rid of it. But it needs to be done by the rule of law. It needs to be done in the right way. So the House is making that statement. You know, Senator Reid in the Senate's not going to do anything along that. He'll protect the president. But I do think it's the right thing to do.
We see these stories where businesses will sometimes purposely keep employees below full time, so they don't have to provide insurance. What are workers like this supposed to do in that case?
Well, we talk a lot about helping those, the middle income, the lower middle income, and this is really killing them in the sense that because of the mandates that will be coming out through the health care law, with it being so expensive and such a burden on business, you're seeing lots of businesses now trading two full-time employees for three part-timers in order to beat the system. And so, you know, it makes it very, very difficult. And so you're going to have many people that their hours are going to be cut back, and that's not a good situation.
Well, again, I mean, what the health care law was designed to help these people, to provide them with a subsidy to get their own insurance. What are the solutions to some of these problems? What are the real solutions that you feel?
Well, I think the real solution is starting over. Senator Baucus, who actually wrote the law, said this thing is a train wreck. And what we've done is the problem with health care all along was unaffordability. You know, people couldn't afford the health care that they needed. They changed the law, and as a result, it is more unaffordable than ever. We're spending next year $1 trillion of additional taxes are going to go into effect, and so we're spending even more money by a great degree, and yet we have a system where the cost is escalating dramatically. So we need to do a number of different things. We need to start with tort reform. We need to get rid of the nuisance lawsuits that drive up the cost of care by doctors having to practice preventive medicine. We need to allow insurance to be bought across state lines. We need a lot more competition in the system. You know, those are the things that really would make a difference. We need to let people like my barber that's got two or three employees to team with maybe 1,000 other entities like that, 1,000 other barbers, go into the marketplace and get the good deal that a major corporation could be. Those are the free market solutions. And yet, the other thing is we have to protect the idea that it shouldn't be that if you lose your job, you lose your insurance. You know, that's not right. People that become uninsurable and can't get insurance, you know, those are things that we need to protect. But we can do that without spending an additional $1 trillion and then also driving up the cost of the individual premium so much.
Now, these state insurance exchanges that are supposed to be set up, those are designed, are they not, to provide a pool of people to drive down the insurance costs?
They are, and they will be subsidized. My concern is that businesses, again, are going to be, their costs are going to go up dramatically with their insurance because of the mandates that they're going to put on the insurance. And so I think you'll see a lot of businesses actually get out of that situation where they don't provide it anymore and just push their people into the exchanges, pay the fine that they'll have to pay, which will actually be cheaper. Then the cost, because there will be less people in the private pool, those costs will go up even more. So you'll have more businesses, pushing people into the exchanges. The exchanges, which are heavily subsidized, will be, you start breaking them because of the cost of them. And then you have really two things that you have to do in order to control costs that we're seeing in countries like Great Britain and Canada, the models that they're using. You have to have things like consolidation of hospitals, consolidation of providers, and rationing.
What's happening with student loans? The Senate, it looks like, passed a bill that delays the doubling of federal student loan rates for a year. What are your thoughts on this issue?
Well, the student loan situation is so important. You know, I have three grown daughters that aren't too far from this, and still, you know, in that situation. So the thing that we've got to do is get it sorted out in the next week or so, and I think that we'll do that without any problem. Maybe with problem, but we will get it sorted out. The idea is to take the program that I support is allowing students to use these very, very low interest rates that we have right now, which are, you know, unquestionably the lowest ever. So what we would do is take the 10-year Treasury note, add a couple percent to that. That's the cost that it takes to actually service the notes, the default rate, you know, things like that, and then add that together. And then they can lock that in for the life of the loan. The alternative is just to extend the present situation that we have right now and kick the can down the road for another year. But interest rates will go up, and I think that's a negative for students. Right now, if we did the formula, it'd be a little over 4%, and they could lock that in, and I think that would be a good deal. There's also would be a cap on the how much it could rise for, you know, people getting loans in the future. So it's a good bipartisan agreement. I think there's essentially two Democrats, an independent that votes with the Democrats, and then three Republicans that are working really hard to get this sorted out.
I know it's been a busy time in the Senate. Last week, there was a compromise reached on filibuster rules. It looked like basically Republicans agreed to pass some of the president's nominees and nothing would change. Is that right?
Well, that's the way that it really shook out. I was pleased that something was done in the sense that the situation we were in was that the filibuster in regard to presidential nominees for people that would be working with him would be ended. And that's something that's been around for a long time. The trouble is that in order to change the rule, you'd actually have to break the rules. And so, you know, that's not the kind of society we live in. You know, the end just doesn't justify the means. And so the reality is that would have caused a lot of problems in getting things done in the future. So had a good meeting. We had a meeting in the old Senate chamber and just of senators. Great discussion. I think that it was very productive. And so I think two things happened. It was agreed to back off on the rule change, which again was the right thing to do. You can't change the rules by breaking the rules. But also, I think it kind of established perhaps a little bit of a baseline to go forward to hopefully settle some problems in the future.
Well, just a couple of minutes left. President Obama is set to give three speeches this week, all focusing on the economy. Now, we all know that there are two major political parties in this country, and these parties will probably never agree on the best practices for improving and managing the economy. So the president's going to make some proposals. Is there anything that this president can propose that Republicans will support?
Well, I think that it's great that he's actually talking about the economy. I think every person in authority right now throughout the country. We've seen this with our major cities like Detroit, our business leaders. You ought to get up every day and think, you know, how can I protect savings? How can we protect pension plans? How can we protect the jobs that we have? And how can we create jobs in the future? And again, that really falls down primarily to small business, you know, creating those jobs. But we can help by in some cases, government getting out of the way with less regulation. In other cases, using the resources that are being, put out, make sure that those are being done in the most effective way to help small business. in particular. So I'm glad that the president's out. We'll have to wait and see with what he comes up with. But this is what we need to be concentrating on, is creating a good, strong, healthy economy, you know, allowing people to get back to work. The economy now is very, very weak. And so, again, that's the name of the game.
Well, the president, of course, is expected to continue to push, as he has before, on for investment on things like infrastructure, education, and research. Are these areas where investment is needed?
Well, I think infrastructure is, but you have to be careful. You know, what we don't want to do is create a situation like we did with the stimulus, where you spend almost $1 trillion and really don't have a whole lot to show for it, just creating a lot of part-time jobs. The problem then being, when the money goes away, the job goes away. And so we'll have to wait and see exactly what he comes up with. But, again, it's important that we talk about the economy, creating economic opportunity, just creating opportunity in general for the people of America.
All right, Senator Bozeman, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Senator John Bozeman joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition.